When you think of the great jazz organ players, what names come to mind? Jimmy Smith, Dr. Lonnie Smith, my homie, Joey DeFrancesco. But what if we told you there was another name who was equally deserving, who should be put on a pedestal, or at the minimum, on your radar? She is an unsung hero of the organ who shared the stage with Count Basie, Ella Fitzgerald, and Ray Charles. A jazz superstar in Europe, rocking a 17,000-seat stadium in Budapest, and sold-out performances at the famous Olympia in Paris. But chances are, you've probably never heard of her. I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. This hour, we'll change all that as we shine a light on Rhoda Scott.
She absolutely belongs in the Jazz Organ Hall of Fame. Most people don't realize that she was there when the first generation of jazz organists were establishing themselves in 1955, that early.
Stick around to hear the remarkable story of how this Jersey girl went on to become one of the most beloved and respected jazz figures in her adopted France. That's where she's been living for more than 50 years and where she serves as an inspiration for other French musicians.
It happened like everything happened to me, by accident.
But it's no accident that in her mid-80s, Rhoda's still jamming the day. Stomping those foot pedals, playing those keys. And we've got a rare performance from Rhoda and her bad group she calls the Lady Quartet at Dizzy's Club at Jazz and Lincoln Center in New York City. Let's kick things off with Moaning.
Thank you.
Organist Rhoda Scott and her lady quartet. We just heard the Bobby Timmons classic, Moanin'.
I really love Moanin' because it sounds churchy.
That's Rhoda Scott.
My roots are the church because I have church inside and church will come out.
Rhoda was born in Dorothy, a small town in South Jersey. Her father was a minister with the African Methodist Episcopal Church. I want
Jesus. And so I heard all the music from church, the Negro spirituals, the hymns, and everything. And my mother played the piano in church, and she held me on her knees. Now, I don't remember this, but my parents always told me that I would come back home and play what my mother had played in church. It became a legend of the family.
One thing she does remember is the first time she set eyes on an organ.
Now, a Hammond organ, you already have to figure out how to turn it on, which I did eventually. And I saw a keyboard on the floor. And so I thought it was logical to take my shoes off to see what was going on. And so I figured out the drawbars for the pedals. And I sort of started tapping on the pedals with my bare feet.
If you catch her in concert, you'll see she still plays barefoot, says it helps her gain control of the pedal board. At 7 years old, she was completely transfixed. She'd play the organ day and night, figuring out all the various sounds from the knobs and drawbars.
One day, my father was in our house. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do Sunday. The organist is sick, and I don't know what kind of service I'm going to have. He liked for music to be important in his church service. And my sister, she said, Daddy, Rhoda can play for church.
Now, keep in mind that Rhoda's barely 10 years old. Nevertheless, it didn't take much to convince him. She played in church until her late teens. Then, one Sunday after service, she got a call to sit in with a local R&B band. She hesitated at first on the account that she didn't know any of their repertoire.
But I realized I knew all the songs that they were doing. I knew all the rhythm and blues stuff that I would hear on the radio.
She was a natural. Pretty soon, Rhoda was leading her own trio with tenor saxophone and drums. Their rhythm and blues drenched soul jazz was a big draw in the Northeast Corridor. They had a hit in 1962 with Hey, Hey, Hey.
That was our big hit. Everybody in the club would be waving the white handkerchief, saying, Hey, hey, hey.
Now, Rhoda's career was moving. Count Basie was booking her to perform at his club in Harlem. And she even shared a bill with the organ king, Jimmy Smith.
Everything that happened to me, it just happens just by accident, almost. It's just like I'm following the stars.
But despite her early success as a performer, something was missing. She remembered that her father never had the opportunity to go to college. And that inspired her choice to put her music grind on pause and pursue a master's degree at the Manhattan School of Music. She thought that after that, she'd teach. But she felt like her resume wasn't as impressive as some of the other teachers who had studied all over Europe. She wanted that experience too.
The head of my theory department had studied with Nadia Boulanger, and she talked about her all the time.
Nadia Boulanger was a famous French music teacher and conductor. She taught many of the leading composers and musicians of the 20th century, including Philip Glass and Quincy Jones.
I asked Dr. Lenome, do you think I could study with Nadia Boulanger?
And so a 29-year-old Rhoda Scott flew to Paris to study with the French master too. She says that those 2 months were life-changing.
I came back to New York, to Manhattan School of Music, and I said, I'm going to take a year off. I'm going back to France.
That decision would impact her entire life and career. We'll explore Rhoda's European success later on the show. But let's head back to Dizzy's Club to hear some more music from the Grand Lady of the Organ, with Sophie Allure on tenor, Geraldine Laurent on alto, and Julie Sori on drums. This is We Free Queens, the Rhoda Scott Lady Quartet's riff on Rahsaan Roland Kirk's We Free Kings. Thank you. We Free Queens, composed by the French saxophonist Lisa Cat Barreau for the Rhoda Scott Lady Quartet. When Jazz Night in America returns, Rhoda Scott goes to Paris. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. In 1968, Rhoda Scott shot for the stars, or at least embraced her flair for adventure, and moved to the City of Lights. Ah, Paris. Moving there may have been on a whim, but when you look at it, historically, there's a precedent for Americans in Paris. George Gershwin even composed a piece about it in 1928. The historian Ashley Kahn says a long list of black artists relocated to France. Sidney Bechet, Dexter Gordon, Lester Young, just to name a few. And Josephine Baker, of course, became one of the highest paid performers in Europe.
And enjoying a level of respect as African Americans that is far different from what their experience is in the States. Not to say that France is devoid of its own issues, but there was an appreciation and an acceptance that was definitely far different from the entrenched racism that is part of the American experience.
But Rhoda resists any notion that she moved there for those reasons or to make it as an artist.
My decision was based on the French language, the culture in France, and the way of life. I didn't come back as a musician. I came back as a curious person. And I started looking for a job. So what could I do as a job?
The job she was born to do, play the organ.
In Saint-Germain-des-Prés, on the left bank. And it was amazing. They had lines all down the sidewalk to get in to hear me play.
This club was the famous Les Biboquets. Almost every jazz immortal set a foot in this place. Film buffs may know it from the 1961 movie Paris Blues, starring Paul Newman and Sidney Poitier. Les Biboquets was run by a man named Raoul Saint-Yves. He instantly became infatuated with Rhoda and seemed determined to see her succeed.
Raoul knew everybody. All the people from show business and everything. And he was such good friends with Eddie Barclay.
Eddie Barclay was a big-time record producer that founded Barclay Records, a French label that helped popularize American jazz in Europe in the post-war years. So you can guess what comes next. Rhoda hadn't been in Europe for a year, and now she's making her first record on a major label, Take a Ladder.
And from there on, everything just kept happening.
That's Rhoda playing both parts, the keys with her hands and bass with her 2 feet. It's only Rhoda and drummer Daniel Humer.
When I came to France, mostly I just played with a drummer. Raoul didn't want me to collaborate with other musicians because he wanted me to be settled as an organist, soloist, and not as a sideman.
Raoul Saint-Yves and Rhoda Scott's professional connection proved to be much more than that. She not only fell in love with Paris, she fell in love in Paris.
We got married at the American church in Paris.
They were inseparable and shared a life together until his death in 2008. Together, they made dozens of lasting recordings. Some highlights include the fiery double LP, Live at the Olympia. A groovy soul jazz duet album with the drummer Kenny Clark. And a big band extravaganza with the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra. Mel had seen her perform at one of her regular gigs in Paris and even sat in on drums.
Afterwards, we were having a drink. And he said, you know, this really feels good. He said, we should do a record together.
The record date was set for New York. Thad Jones then asked Rhoda to send over some of her original compositions.
He chose so many of my tunes, I couldn't get over it.
5 out of the 7 songs featured on the record were Rhoda's, including this one, which she performed at Dizzy's Club for our concert in 2018. This is Charlotte's Waltz.
Thank you.
Charlotte's Waltz, featuring Rhoda Scott with her quartet live in New York City. Another fascinating detail of Rhoda's artistry is the way she intermingled with French culture. I'm sure her husband had a hand in that too. Yes, she rubbed shoulders with Josephine Baker, but she also befriended French artists like the crooner and composer Charles Trenet.
Charles Trenet heard me play I Wish You Love, which is a song I loved to play. And when we finished, Raoul said, "My Sherry, here is Charles Trenet. He wrote the song you just did." I said, "No, I Wish You Love is an American standard. It's not French."
She stood corrected.
I was very naive about American music standards. I know standards, but a lot of contributions have been made by French composers.
Bobby Darin's Beyond the Sea. Frank Sinatra's My Way. The Everly Brothers, Let It Be Me. Autumn Leaves. All began as French songs.
And so I became interested in the chanson française.
Rhoda still loves to feature French songs in her studio recordings and live performances. Let's listen to one now.
We call it I Wish You Love, and in French it's Que reste-t-il?
Beep, 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 beep. Dizzy's Club, that was I Wish You Love.
Sophia Allure.
Featuring Rhoda Scott on organ, Sophia Allure on tenor saxophone, and Julie Sori on drums. Many musicians who moved to Paris, once they found their success, they left, but not Rhoda Scott. And her love affair with France is mutual.
She was one of our first female model at that time.
We'll learn just how powerful Rhoda's legacy is right after the break. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. We're honoring a living legend of the organ, Rhoda Scott. And we wouldn't be mad if, up until now, you hadn't heard of her. She's mostly celebrated in Europe, where she's lived for more than 50 years.
What's funny about Europe is that the strategy of promotion and demographics and understanding the audiences out there for music, and especially for jazz, is absolutely unpredictable.
The historian Ashley Kahn has followed Rhoda's career for decades.
The fact that Rhoda Scott was as big and enduringly respected as she continues to be in Europe in general is really reflected in France and strangely in Hungary as well. The kind of success that she achieved there was really on almost a pop stardom level.
She's one of the few Americans, let alone African-American artists, who was allowed behind the Iron Curtain during the Soviet era. Hungarians loved her so much, they packed a 17,000-seat stadium to hear the Barefoot Lady of the Organ. And Rhoda's primetime TV appearances in Hungary attracted an even bigger audience.
They said by 7 o'clock at night, the streets were all dark, and nobody was outside. Everybody was in front of the television.
It's hard to imagine she would have found a similar-sized audience in the U.S. But Rhoda's biggest accomplishments undoubtedly occurred in her adopted home country, France. There, she's considered as an elder stateswoman of jazz. And in 2004, one gig really etched that in stone.
There's a big festival in France, Jazz à Vienne, and the artistic director called me up one night. He said, we have Abby Lincoln scheduled for the ladies' night, and she just canceled because she has medical problems.
He asked Rhoda if she could replace Abby Lincoln with an all-female group. Rhoda was happy to oblige. The only problem, she didn't know any other female instrumentalists in France.
Which I didn't. I hadn't met any. So he said, well, I know some. I'm going to put you in contact with them.
And voila, the Rhoda Scott Lady Quartet was born. One of the musicians to join the group, drummer Julie Sorry.
In July 2004, at 10 o'clock, in front of 7,000 people, we played. And voilà, almost 20 years after, we are still together.
Let's listen to the quartet live at Dizzy's Club with an original composition by the band's tenor saxophonist, Sophie Allure. With Geraldine Laurent on alto, Julie Sorry on drums, and of course, Rhoda Scott on the organ. This is I Wanna Move. Thank you. I Want to Move from the Rhoda Scott Lady Quartet. As you've been hearing, Rhoda's still playing better than ever. Back in 2018, for her 80th birthday, she doubled her band and formed an octet called the Lady All-Stars.
We are representing all the female jazz musicians from 22 to 84, and I think it's very unique.
Drummer Julie Suri plays in both the octet and the quartet. She says Rhoda's influence in France is bigger than her music.
I'm so proud to be sitting next to her and represent, if I can be a model for the young generation, because I didn't have that when I start. All my models were American, like Sheila E., Terry Lynn Carrington, but not in France. So with Rhoda, see that everything is possible, and wow, for me it's wonderful.
I'm always happy when some women tell me that they are inspired.
Rhoda Scott.
I've learned as much and more with them because they're young musicians. I see them grow, and I always say that these girls give me kicks in the backside.
Let's close out things with one more tune from our Rhoda Scott Lady Quartet concert at Dizzy's Club. Their signature encore, Ray Charles's What I Say. Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO Studios, Jazz and Lincoln Center, and NPR Music. This week's episode was written and produced by Sarah Giletti with Alex Arif. The music was recorded by Rob McCumber. Special thanks to Sebastian Vidal and his team at TSF Jazz in Paris, Jean-Charles Ducan, and Juliette Balan. The Jazz Night team includes Trevor Smith, Nate Chenin, and Saraya Muhammad, our project manager. Keith Jenkins is the Vice President of Visuals and Strategy in NPR Music. Executive producers are Gabrielle Armand and Anya Grundman. I'm Christian McBride.